Alrighty. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Writers Podcast, the comic book club where we read a different trade paperback every single week. I'm Daniel. You're Nathan. We're brothers. We read comics.
We sure do.
Yeah, we're here, buddy.
It's a new year for us, not for you.
Yeah.
Well, I guess it kind of is for you.
It's a new year for me, too.
Yeah.
How was your new year, Nathan?
Pretty good.
What'd you do?
I sang karaoke.
Ooh.
Mr. Brightside crushed it.
Oh, a go-to. I'm surprised I wasn't taken. Did you go first so that wouldn't be taken?
No, it was just at Sophie's family's place.
Ah.
And they sang not white boy anthems. I covered that piece.
So you had some shit to choose from.
Yeah, I had.
Dang.
I almost did Wonderwall.
You had a whole slate, yeah.
Would have brought the house down.
yeah, there's a...
And then I was the guy in Wake Me Up. Or whatever, in Evanescence. Turns out there's a rapping part that he does, and I forgot about it. He's like, all this time, I wish that I couldn't even see. Another time, something's up in front of me.
About a beep. Yeah, I'm going to throw me off guard.
Yeah.
That's cool. Did you do the scream at the end of that part? There's a little scream in there.
There's a part where he like whispers, and he's like, there's nothing inside. And I did that part.
Man, I would have saw that.
It was good. It was a good time.
Anyway.
Meanwhile, Sophie actually sang.
Yeah.
And it was funny.
That's cool.
How was yours?
Good. You know.
Heard Sarah got drunk.
Sarah did get drunk. Yeah. She's like, since we weren't planning on like going home, then she really let loose.
Yeah.
And people just kept pouring her drinks.
Love that.
And she got real tired.
Very good. But, well, let's start this new year with a bang, Daniel.
Yeah, we got it. We got different time codes in our description. We got the book, which is Daredevil, Parts of a Whole, which is the first appearance of Echo.
Yep.
For the upcoming Echo series that'll be coming out on Disney Plus.
Yes, sir.
I think it'll be out when this comes out. I don't know. But we got the book. We got Back Matter Matters. And we got the pull list. But we start with the news. Do you have any news, Nathan?
Dude, I actually don't. I just realized. Did anything happen?
A few things. So, mostly TV stuff, but...
Okay.
There's another Walking Dead show, Nathan. Don't worry.
What?
It's called The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live. And it's coming...
Isn't that just The Walking Dead?
Yep.
All of them live, presumably, the characters in the show.
Those are the people that we follow, the ones who lived.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Wait, so they have... Normal Walking Dead's done, but they have Walking Dead, and I'm Norman Reedus.
Big City, yeah, Big City with Negan.
Yeah, and then we're scared. It's The Walking Dead. What's that one called? Fear of the Walking Dead?
That one's over too, I think.
Oh, okay.
And then we got I'm Daryl.
Hey, I'm Daryl.
Here's Daryl.
I bet you're wondering how I got myself in this situation.
And now we have The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live, coming February 25th.
Okay.
So...
That's interesting.
Yep. Exciting stuff. And you saw that What If Season 2 came out?
Yeah.
Have you watched any of it?
No.
Well, a couple days ago, Marvel posted a teaser for What If Season 3.
I saw that.
Yeah, I think I sent it to you. And I was like...
Oh, I saw it independently of you.
Oh, really? But, I sent it to you as well. And that's probably what you're thinking of.
I did watch it and I was like... Isn't season two like still coming out?
Yeah, like they have this ready
really
already.
They must be really confident.
Yeah.
I do hear it's like better than season one.
I watched one episode and it was awesome. So
what was the what if?
It was what if Nebula was a part of the Nova Corps.
That's pretty cool.
And she was like kind of like if Batman was on like the police force in a way. It was very dark and gritty, and she used her powers and stuff. Mm. It was pretty neat, actually.
Pretty cool?
Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Are they like 30-minute episodes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Normally, I watch like a manga episode while I'm doing some cardio, but I watched that and it went 5 minutes longer, and I was getting tired.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I know. A little extra.
Ran another mile or so
in that five minutes? Yeah,
in that 5 minutes.
Because I was fucking sprinting as I'm watching a show.
Just huffing and puffing.
Yeah,
you can't even see the screen because it's just like shaking the treadmill.
You can't read the subtitles at all. But yeah, so I guess they are already teasing a season three, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Because it seemed so weird that they were like releasing them all like within the same week, almost as if they didn't believe in it or whatever.
It was like every day, right?
Yeah, up until Christmas or whatever. But anyway, they, and then it's weird that they had this one just cooked up just to keep people waiting.
Yeah. I don't know. So when is that supposed to come out?
I don't know.
Oh. Daniel, as you've been talking, I was seeing if I missed anything big, and we did miss something big.
All right.
Unless you still have news.
I do, but you do your thing.
DC reveals Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman's New Year's resolutions.
Oh, God.
And God damn it, Wonder Woman plans to spend the new year convincing Bruce to let her pet the bat cow. How do you like that?
Was this on like DC Twitter?
This is on DC's Instagram.
Oh.
Let's see.
Marketing team's killing it. What's Superman's resolution?
I can't even find it. Let me see if I can click on this. Batman, help Damian make more human friends. Sleep less. That's a funny resolution.
Okay.
The Flash, be more punctual without time traveling. See more of the multiverse. Figure out what leg day is. That's pretty good. No more paradoxes, he puts in all caps. Superman, get into less fights with Batman. Rip less shirts. Unless Lois asks me to. Ooh, what a dirty dog.
Oh.
Take crypto for longer flights around the universe. And learn to sew. I like that one.
Handy.
Aquaman, introduce Orm to nachos. It's pretty good.
Hmm.
Well, big news.
In other news... Have we talked about the book Thorn?
Is that the Bone Universe book?
Yeah, by Jeff Smith.
Yeah, I'm familiar of it, but
you heard that it was like a Kickstarter. Did we talk about it on this?
No, I don't think we talked about it on this.
Okay, but. So there's a Kickstarter that has ended now, but I guess you can still buy it on like his website or whatever. But his goal was like 30,000. What do you think he reached?
Like 300,000.
It's a very good guess. It's 324,000.
Holy shit.
And so.
Wait, how much did he ask for? 30?
30.
The gall of this man to think they won't make more than 30K.
Well, maybe it's just like that's all he needed to like print the books, you know?
Yeah.
And then,
that's probably what it is.
And then the more demand, the more you print, you know?
I'm sure he thought at least quarter mil.
Probably. But yeah. you don't want to be that ballsy, you know?
I think it's also.
Like, when's the last Jeff Smith thing,
I think
thing
if that I, came out? Oh, it was like that African one.
True. Tuki,
yeah. People like that one, I think. But I think it's also part of the strategy of a Kickstarter is to have the goals like low so you could see how close it's getting.
Yeah.
And so you're not scared to put your money in. Because if you're like one of the first like 100 people to start backing this or whatever,
sure.
And it's like, oh, this is a quarter mil goal. And
yeah.
It's only at $4,000, you know?
It kind of, yeah, might make it seem like you might not get it, you
yeah.
know? So lower investor confidence.
But good for him. Jeff yeah. Smith still fucking kills it.
So yeah, these are like the, so Bone was like, or what's the main one's name?
Bone?
No, it's like Phone Bone or
Phone
something.
Phone Bone, yeah.
Phone Bone, yeah. So he did like these comic strips in like college at like Ohio State. And he did them for like 4 years. Like, and it went to like the paper or whatever. And I guess like 50,000 people saw this paper like each week. And so the Thorn book is kind of like a prequel in a way of how Bone came to be. And all those strips had Phone Bone in it. That was just like his character that he put in there. But he didn't really know what Bone was at the time.
So Thorn is a collection of those strips?
Yeah.
Oh, so is he not doing extra work for it or like?
I think he's adding some like
I think
three like additional stories or something.
I think you'd have to. But that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he made it seem like it was more of a prequel, so there might be more to it. But yeah, it just seemed really cool, especially for like a Bone fan.
Yeah.
You know, seeing like all the major back matter, you know?
Yeah, the back matter, yeah. They give that man a Netflix show again. Or
dude, some, I know. That,
something animated.
I don't know why.
A video game,
fell
perhaps.
Through.
I don't know.
It would fucking kill.
I feel like people love
I would
Bone.
Eat that shit up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
He'd make crazy Scholastic sales that year whenever it came out.
Yeah. So that's coming out this year at some point.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. And last bit of news, Marvel is reprinting an omnibus of all their Godzilla comics when they had the rights to it back in the 70s.
Cool.
Yeah.
So is that a lot?
It's Nephra and Omnibus, so I guess quite a few.
Nice.
I think it's something about like 20 issues, something like that.
Godzilla's big.
Yeah.
Big as hell. Like physically and spiritually.
Yeah.
Popular wise.
Right. So I didn't realize that they had like the rights to it.
They had the rights for a lot of weird things.
Yeah.
Back in
like,
the day.
Like Star Wars.
Yeah.
I guess they got that now, but anyway. Let's get into the book, Nathan. What did we read?
We read Daredevil, Parts of a Hole. Or Parts of a Hole, I should say. And this is the story that introduces Echo. We're reading the Echo thing because Echo's coming out.
Yeah, and so this is a part of the 1998 Daredevil run. It includes issues 9 through 15. So I know we normally do like a volume 1, but...
But this is like Echo's volume 1.
Yeah, it was advertised as like an Echo, like volume 1 kind of thing.
So
still trying to think about how I'm going to post the episode, but...
Yeah, written by David Mack, pencils by Joe Quesada, and with David Ross and Rob Haynes, but mostly Joe Quesada. Inkers, Jimmy Palmiotti and Mark Morales. Colorist, Richard Isonov. So, Dan, what did you think of this?
Got a lot of thoughts here. I think I like Echo a lot more now.
Dude, totally.
Yeah, because like they didn't give us a lot with Hawkeye, you know, as far as like just kind of understanding her as a character.
Yeah.
And this definitely gives you all of that.
Yeah, this is a sick Daredevil book.
Yeah, no, it was very cool.
Yeah, I was like, I didn't know that David Mack could like write so well.
I don't know if I've ever read anything by David Mack.
I don't think I have either. Everything, even like newer stuff, like when he was doing Pearl, I believe.
Bendis?
Bendis wrote, but I think David Mack did the art, or maybe that's Gatos. I can't remember. But even like, I feel like he's done like recent stuff and he was just doing the art for it. But I feel like he totally nails what a Daredevil comic should be.
Sure, yeah.
And like Quesada, he fucking has it, dude.
I know he's like a legend. You know, but I don't think he's like my favorite.
Really?
Yeah, I loved his like colored pencil looking pages.
Yeah,
those were like the ones that really crushed. But the rest, it was just kind of like a little wonky and kind of like caricature-y in some parts.
He does do that, but I think that he really takes the opportunity to like really explore what can go on a page. Besides like what the focus of it is, you know,
it definitely looks like a 90s comic because there's like a lot of these like splash pages and stuff like that that just was a lot in the 90s. Mm-hmm. And they're very like unique looking pages.
Totally.
But a lot of them reminded me of like how Spawn is kind of like set up with like panel designs and whatnot.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. I also like how Quesada like makes Daredevil fight in like these like weird poses all the time.
Yeah,
like he'll just be fighting and then he'll just like be doing a backflip for some reason, but it's like a backflip. He looks like he's not going to land.
Yeah.
You know? And I think it's so fun.
And I need your opinion on something.
Okay.
Are Daredevil's horns too close together?
In this?
Yes.
Ooh, I think you kind of have to do it like this so that you don't get Batman comparisons.
I don't know. It seems a little close. No, Batman's like in the back.
Batman's like... But people know it as like on the sides.
But these are in the front, and I just think they're too close together.
But if you think of a devil, they're like in the front, like Hellboy. Yeah, it's like this.
Daredevil's are like, I guess these are on his forehead too, but
yeah.
I don't know. They just seem a little too close together.
Wow, I didn't even think of that once. Not one time.
Oh, it must not have bothered you then.
No,
it's just something I noticed, and I'm like, I don't know about that.
There were some other things I noticed just randomly about Daredevil throughout this, but no, I never even thought of his horns.
But
I also think it's a little bit weird that Echo is like this prominent, like deaf character, and we don't like see her sign at all. She just like reads lips.
Yeah, it's like the most super deaf character ever because she can like feel vibrations and stuff and like reads lips super well. And I guess like she can talk pretty clearly too because of some reason.
Oh, yeah. I don't really understand that. Well, it makes sense that she, because lip reading is not like the standard for deaf people. Like almost nobody can do it well.
Yeah.
And if you can, it's like a lot of practice. It makes sense that she can, because her whole thing is like being able to like mimic things perfectly. Mm. And so I think that's what they said for like why she can speak clearly, because she's mimicking what other people are like saying and doing with their throat, maybe.
Yeah.
Which is weird. But I also think that she should be able to sign, or she should sign a little bit in here as well, being like
a deaf character. Representative. Yeah. Does she talk in the show at all?
No, she signs in the show.
Signs in the show. Okay, sure. So they're handling it like well.
Yeah, and yeah. I think David Mack does pretty well with Echo in here too. Like I really liked her a lot, and I was like, damn, I want to see like what's next in this chapter.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just thought that part was a little bit weird.
I think I like look forward to like what she was doing more than like what Daredevil was doing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Same.
Which is rare. I think I was going into it, I was like, oh, probably mostly Daredevil with like some Echo stuff. Mm-hmm. That seemed like pretty 50-50, which was nice.
Yeah, I like that too.
And really I kind of like, realized that like how important of a character she is.
It isn't, it feels very like intentional that he made this like a really cool character, you know? It's not like he just made a character and he's like, oh, people like this.
You know? Yeah.
So it's pretty cool.
And I feel like her Native American descent is more like represented in this. Like,
yeah, I think he might have focused on that a little bit more than like.
Yeah, I don't know if that's something that they're like trying to do in the show. I don't know if there was like any of that.
Not that I remember, but I think it is brought up.
It's probably more appropriate to explore that in her own show.
Probably.
So
do you think it'll follow pretty closely to this?
I feel like they kind of already covered this stuff in like Hawkeye, you know, like just with the way this ends and the way the Hawkeye season ends with like Echo stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel like it'll just be like new stuff for us. Perhaps if we read like the deluxe of like the Echo stuff, we would have seen more and have more to like look forward to.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe in the show it'll cover more of like her coming origin. Up. Yeah, her origin and stuff. So I think Kingpin will be involved in that.
Yeah,
for great sure. Kingpin in this, by the way.
Pretty good Kingpin.
Yeah. Big baby man.
If Kingpin's not as big as he is in like Spider-Verse, then I'm like disappointed, you know?
No.
But like that's like unrealistically that was big.
So bold for them to do, and they nailed it. And no one thought anything weird, like other
than yeah.
They're like, yeah, it's Kingpin.
And of so course now all other Kingpins in comics are just smaller.
I know, dude. Like we should read that the one where I think it's Elektra where Kingpin is in it and he looks like that. Like that's what that design was based off of, was Bill Sienkiewicz.
Was that the Bendis stuff?
No. I want to say,
maybe
I don't know who wrote. I think it might have been Miller writing Elektra, and then it was Bill Sienkiewicz on art.
That'd be cool. Yeah. Maybe when Across the Spider-Verse comes out.
Yeah.
Just like
just a random Bill Sienkiewicz.
It's an Elektra book for Spider-Man. And we'll definitely get to that, especially knowing that.
Mm-hmm. But let's get into it, Daniel. So issue 9.
Yeah.
Is where it starts. But Matt Murdock is like a sick ass piano player, which I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
He's really good at, you know, feeling the keys or whatever. And since he's really good at hearing like the different notes taste like things, the way that they explain it is like their notes feel like different things, or like they taste like something kind of. So like an E major is like coppery a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So I thought that was interesting.
Do you want me to play those notes so that you can know what they
feel
like?
Yeah. If you could play a G, hold on. What does he say a G is? A G major is the rush of adrenaline it takes to push a drunken old man from the path of a speeding truck. All right. Here's Daniel playing his untuned guitar live.
All right. You said G?
Yes.
Oh, that's
way out of tune. That's way out of tune.
It does sound like a drunken guy. Give me a minute.
Okay. I swear this never happens. Do you know all the chords? All right, so I'm going to tell you a chord, and then you play it, and then I'll tell you what Daredevil thinks of that chord, okay?
Okay.
Let's do a C. That smells like an old pair of boxing gloves.
Okay.
Okay, let's do an E, E major. Ooh, that's coppery.
I say that is coppery.
That's pretty coppery. I think he's nailed that. F. That's the color of your heart when you skip confession.
I would say like E major is that?
Ooh, yeah, it does kind of feel like that. Okay. All right. Now, last one is an A. Ooh, that I don't agree with this. A is the empty hole in your stomach when your father dies. That's what Daredevil thinks of that. No, of it's that more cord. Like, yeah.
Oh god.
There's a few more, but yeah. That's funny.
We got the gist.
Yeah.
Anyway, because like I can hear most of those chords in my head. You know, when he was saying that, I'm like, I don't know about a lot of these.
But. I only knew like G, and then I was like, yeah, I guess. Anyway, he's a good piano player, I guess. Also, Black Widow just like shows up, and he's like, something's on your mind. Is it Karen's death? And he's like, yeah, probably.
I guess they used to date Natasha Romanoff. I was going to say,
like, I always hear about them dating, but I've never seen it. Like,
yeah, we always get the tail end of it.
Yeah, we always get like, oh, we were exes, but like we still kind of like each other. We still fuck with each other, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, Karen's dead, so that's a thing. So, do you think Karen's dead from the Miller run, or do you think she came back alive and then died again from like Bendis or somebody?
Well, the Miller run was like 80s.
Yeah. And this is like so 98, right?
So, yeah, so probably much later.
I assume she came back.
Yeah, because in the Miller run, she was like a drug addict or something.
Yeah.
And OD'd or something.
Hmm. I wonder how she died again.
Because isn't she like a model in this?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, then we see Maya Lopez or Echo for the first time. Hold
on one sec. Can you go to page 10 for me?
Yeah.
Can you say out loud the punchy bag sounds?
FAP.
Fap.
Fap. That is the best fap, onomatopoeia.
I'd go for bap.
How
about a little bap?
Bap work. No, I don't think so.
Or poof.
Is pretty good. But yeah, this onomatopoeia has aged poorly. I would argue that the chain aged poorly as well. Can you say that one, Daniel?
No. I was like, no.
It's like chunk, but with an I, you know?
There's no U.
I know it's spelled CHNK, but yeah, I think all the onomatopoeias on this page of age have aged poorly.
A lot of things in this age poorly.
I think that's the only thing.
Yeah,
we see Echo or Maya for the first time, who is deaf, and she's also sick at piano, and I think it's because she can perfectly mimic movements, so she kind of like cheats, but in a way she doesn't. And she does like a whole performance thing for like a stage of people. And Wilson Fisk is there cheering her on. So
there's like children's drawings of like her past and like her father dying. And then there's just this realistic gun pointed at like her dad.
Yeah.
And then her dad's like got her tongue sticking out. He's like, dad's dead.
Uh-uh. Yeah. And there's like X's over eyes and stuff.
Yeah. That's pretty funny. I was just like, this is such a odd way to portray this, I guess.
I think it's just how she like deals with it when she thinks about it, you know. She kind of resorts to like a childlike state or something. I think that's what they're,
maybe this is like her drawings as a child and how she's processing the whole thing.
Yeah, it's very interesting though. I like that sort of juxtaposition on the page. I also just like seeing like colored pencil,
yeah,
in comics. Like, you don't really see it a lot because I think it's probably a ginormous pain in the ass to do.
Yeah,
but there's some in this page. I also think it's cool that Echo can like specifically feel the vibration of Wilson Fisk's big ass hands, like in the crowd after her piano performance. I think that's just kind of a natural way for the characters to like be connected in some way. There's a man named Lenny who goes to Nelson and Murdoch for protection against the Kingpin. But mid conversation, a sniper bullet grazes Matt and hits Lenny and it kills him. So then Daredevil suits up. He goes after the assassin, which turns out to be two twin assassins. And he takes them down and then calls the Kingpin. And he's like, I'm coming after you. And then Wilson Fisk just recruits Maya to be like, go kill this guy, kind of. And that's this issue. But I love this page where he goes after the hitman. And the hitman's like running on the street or something. And we just see like the silhouette of Daredevil like kind of tower over him. I think that's a sick page.
The DD doesn't make sense, but it is cool.
It is, yeah. It's not like he has lights on his chest or something.
Yeah,
and I like it's corny, but it's cool because like whenever Daredevil's in the air, he's doing some ridiculous pose. It's kind of like Spider-Man, but this guy does not move like he's not like, you know, all flexible and shit like Spider-Man. Yeah, elasticy. It works for Spider-Man, and then like this. works for Daredevil.
He looks like he's getting all tangled up in his like rope thing.
Yeah. It always seems like he does. Like, or like if he was to retract those two, what do you call them?
Buoy sticks.
Like, how do they not get it knotted up?
I don't know.
It's ridiculous. Also, these like, they're twin assassins, which is unique enough, but they also only speak in like cheesy one-liners. Do you notice that?
I didn't notice that till later.
Yeah. And I don't know why. They never explain that portion of it.
I think it's kind of a funny shtick.
It is a funny shtick.
Because like they're not important.
No.
But it's kind of cool to give them something, you mm-hmm. know?
So yeah, some good action and stuff.
We get the R word in this book.
Ooh, yeah, we do.
You know?
That doesn't age well.
Yeah, but we also learned, Nathan, we learned that somehow Daredevil can feel electromagnetic pulses. So he can feel if someone's using a phone. And yeah. He can feel the phone when it moves.
Yeah.
So
he's really kind of stretching the Daredevil thing.
Yeah, he's got like the disease that like Saul's brother has in Better Call Saul. Chuck. Yeah, Chuck.
Yeah.
Fucking Chuck.
I love Chuck. Such a ridiculous character.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if you go like a little bit too far with Daredevil powers, I'm just like, well, why does that never just come up ever again?
Yeah, like, I feel like that could be really nice. Useful in a lot of areas.
Yeah. Know? Yeah, totally. But
I just think of like how far could they push this, you know?
Or like, wouldn't he just always be paralyzed with all the phones? People are always on their phones.
Yeah, his phones everywhere.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I just ignored that.
So issue 10.
Issue 10. Matt Murdock comes to in the emergency room after being treated for the bullet that grazed his head. I don't know how he got there because he seemed pretty good enough to like take down two assassins.
He only got shot in like the cheek.
He got shot in the cheek.
He got grazed.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe he got concussed.
Just keep the
story. He hit his head on the ground. I don't know.
And in this run, Kingpin knows that Matt Murdock is Daredevil.
Yes, that is another thing.
That's important to know. But
and then Maya's walking around New York on a quest from Fisk to go to Nelson and Murdock. And then she finds her way there and she makes plans to go get coffee with Matt.
Real quick, going back to this hospital thing.
Yeah.
There was like, you know, side chatter of people out of the panel.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure there's a dude who has a gerbil on his ass.
Yeah, there is. This will widen the cavity. We don't want to damage the gerbil. I want to know that story.
Yeah, I was like, who cares about Daredevil?
There's a fill-in issue in here that's like a different artist. So we should have done that.
Yeah.
It should have been everybody in the hospital at this moment.
That should have been one of the stories. Yeah, at least.
Yeah. I do like these beginning pages, though, like these splash pages. And there's like the puzzle pieces and stuff.
Yeah.
I like that. And that's how he like comes to and he's trying to like piece together like where he is. I think that's a fun little visual metaphor there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I think David Mack does a really good job providing like internal thoughts for Matt Murdock as well. Like he's always kind of like when he's coming to in the hospital, he's like trying to gather his senses and he could like tell what the nurse ate for like lunch. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, extra salsa.
Oh, you know? Yeah, it was like tacos or something.
Yeah.
I'm like, why would you eat onions, tacos during like a 12-hour shift or something?
I would if I could.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. And then there's a part where like Echo's walking down the street and she like shoots a basketball and like sinks it every time because she watched and is replicating the New York Knicks game.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that would be like a one-to-one thing to like mimic.
And she's like outside of like the court. So she's shooting over like a fence.
Yeah.
And they keep passing it back to her, but they don't even show that. They just tell us it happens.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this supposed to make her cooler?
I think it's pretty cool. I just think maybe she like is mimicking the form or something and like adjusting it.
Maybe.
But like I could see how that's if she's like on the court of the Knicks game, she could like watch me ball out. But this is like a shitty court in Hell's Kitchen, you know? I didn't think that she'd be able to make all those.
Yeah. Whatever.
But yeah, I guess she just keeps sinking it and she keeps getting what is it called when you make it and you just get the ball back? Like cash back or something? What is it called?
Change.
Change, yeah, there you go.
Cashback.
Cashback intends. So that night, Daredevil goes to Wilson Fisk's tower to steal like blackmail stuff from his safe. And then Kingpin blames Daredevil for killing Maya's father, which was actually Kingpin killing him. And it was Maya's dad was like Wilson Fisk's business partner that he didn't need anymore. So he killed him. But he blamed it on Daredevil to be like, yeah, you should go be mad at him.
Yeah, there's this thing that they do where it's just like more of those puzzle pieces, but there's like pictures in here of the whatever. Yeah. And then there's blackmail, and it's like actual pictures of stuff of people.
One of those is David Mack.
I imagine.
One of them is Bendis.
Oh yeah, I see him.
Yeah. There's a baby. Don't know who that is. But they in the back matter, they say who these people are.
It just seems like a weird detail.
It is a weird detail. I think I'd prefer if you like draw them in, because I think that's more fun.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And see how people draw Bendis. Or
yeah, yeah. I like that better because it's like less weird, and it's more likely you'd graze over it.
Because it really definitely stands out.
Yeah,
it does. And like you notice, I'm like, this is not a comic.
Yeah,
you
know? this is Quesada.
Okay.
If you didn't know what he looked like. But
I did not.
But like there's an issue of Thor where Thor's like in a bar, and it's like Jason Aaron, Russell Dowderman, and like Matt Wilson at the bar, like in the background, and they're like drinking beers or whatever. And I'm like, that's so fun.
Is it in America or something?
Yeah, in a bar in America. I think he's like arm wrestling Hercules or something too, but it's a good issue.
Arm wrestle bar.
Yeah. I think one of my favorite Daredevil tropes is when he turns off the lights or like cuts off the power to like a building. And so he just has like the ultimate advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I always think that's fun.
I always forget about that until like it's brought up. I'm like, oh yeah, that makes sense. Cause he doesn't need the lights.
Mm-hmm. Or like, remember that scene in the show with the chains? He's got like chains, and he like whips them, and he like breaks the lights above, and he's like walking down a hall doing that. You don't remember that?
Nope. Sounds pretty cool though.
It's one of the coolest scenes of the show.
I need to rewatch that.
I also need to do that.
Need to make Sarah watch it.
I need to make Sophie watch it.
She's never seen it?
No.
Tell her that she's in it.
That would probably help, actually. She does like Elektra.
You know what? Based off of like that show, the person who plays Elektra would probably play like a really good Echo based off of like these drawings, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
That wouldn't be half bad casting. But the person who does it is probably good.
Maya puts on like a Native American play called Echo. And through the performance, through the performance becomes like the Echo that we know. And it's like a Native American play about like, it's a retelling of an old Native American tale that her father used to tell her. And he used it to teach me sign language. So that does come up here, but her making shadow puppets is not sign language, just to be clear.
Are you sure?
David Mack. I'm pretty sure.
Have you tried doing it with a light?
You know, I do appreciate the length that Quesada had to go to like make a rabbit, but like a shadow puppet rabbit.
Yeah.
That was probably really fucking hard to do.
What the hell? Yeah.
But, you know, that's the only part of the sign language, but. But I really like these colored pencil pages, like some of the anatomy of Echo.
Yeah, these are crazy.
Like some of these poses and like the anatomy. She's like crazy abs in one of the shots.
Yeah, very 300.
Like, it's some of the best I've ever seen, I think.
Yeah, so, it's very cool.
Very, very fun. And it really feels like Quesada's like channeling like some Sienkiewicz as well, because he's got some crazy shit going on in the background. Some like Native American like symbols or hieroglyphs or whatever. It's pretty cool.
So oftentimes Echo has like this handprint on her face.
Yeah.
Do you think that's going to be done in the show?
Totally.
Is that cheesy?
No, I like it.
Okay.
I think it's cool.
I think it's cool in the comics. I don't know if it'll be
Here's the origin
portrayed.
For it. I'm going to call how they do it in the show. Okay. She's going to be a kid. She gets bullied in school. Someone's going to tell her, hey, you know, if your hand's bigger than your face, you have cancer. Meanwhile, she has chalk on her hands already. She was drawing outside. She tries it. Boom, gets slapped in the face. That becomes her symbol. Do you remember that when people do that in middle school?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, I think that's how they're going to do it in the show.
Not cancer.
I did that to Sophie once. She had never heard of it.
I bet you have like just a slew of kids' tricks.
I have an arsenal of things.
Yeah, that available. She's never heard of.
Yeah, it's so fun.
She'd never heard of Daredevil, the movie.
Yeah, I know. She didn't know that Daredevil was a movie. But I saw Elektra. It's unbelievable. So, yeah. Issue 11. Echo is training to fight Daredevil. And she's like ripping hella curls. She's also watching movies. Like action movies.
She's also got like film of like Daredevil fighting Bullseye.
It makes sense to watch that and train to fight him. But what doesn't make sense is to watch Bruce Lee and Jackie Chan. Like best of. Because there's definitely those on the TV that she's watching.
Yeah. So I mean, you got to have You can't just have all his moves.
Yeah, true. You gotta have some extra stuff. Like,
but where did she get footage of Daredevil?
I don't know. Maybe they fought in like a office building or on the street.
All right. I'll suspend my disbelief.
So it turns out that Lenny, the guy that was killed at the Nelson and Murdoch office, has a twin named Larry. And Lenny went to Nelson and Murdoch because his brother Larry, who worked for Fisk, was too scared to come in to come see them in fear of getting killed. So the man that was assassinated was this dude's brother.
Another twin is mighty convenient.
It really is. But that plays a part later because those assassins only kill twins, I guess.
And they also have the pointless speech impediment.
Both of them do.
Yeah.
It's unreal.
And it happens when they get nervous.
Like, such an insane plot twist. Also, why would this dude, who's his twin, not be scared of being killed in public? Like, he knows less about the situation than his brother. You could
be accidentally killed in public.
That's what happened. It's crazy. And why do they both have fucked up speech? Kind of, you know? It's weird.
I guess if they're twins, they have the same disabilities or whatever?
They both get punched in the throat or something?
I don't know.
It's crazy. And the person that Matt thought he saw in the hospital was Lenny for real. So there's like a scene where he sees Lenny and he's like, oh, must be my mind.
But yeah, it seemed like they played it off like a vision kind of thing.
Yeah, it's weird. So then later Matt and Maya have like their coffee date meetup thing, which turns into an all day date. And they go to like lunch at the park and then the movies and then like a jazz show and stuff. And they really hit it off. And they're like, okay. That was fun later. And then later that night, Daredevil runs into Echo and Matt Murdock immediately recognizes Maya's scent, but Maya doesn't know that he's Daredevil. So that's kind of a fun dynamic.
And on page 57 in Daredevil's like captions, he mentions like kryptonite.
Yeah. So Superman's canon.
So Superman's real in the Marvel universe.
Yeah. Or at least a comic book. I always think it's funny when they reference each other.
Yeah. It's like, there's gotta be something else you can use here.
Yeah. Surely. And then so they start fighting and it leads to like Maya getting the upper hand and she like pulls a gun on him.
How does it make sense that Daredevil gets shot in the face or he gets shot and grazed in the cheek
and gets with a question bullet. Mark?
He gets a question mark wound.
No, I think he like fell on Maya, the side of like, his face.
Notices it.
But it's still a little crazy.
He looks like Riddle.
He does look like my friend's dog Riddle with a question mark scar on his face for real. but yeah, it's like a perfect question mark too. Mm-hmm. Like she's looking at like the wound.
It's got the dot and everything.
Yeah. I don't understand that it happened, but,
it's in Times New Roman.
Also when they meet for like the first time, look how ginormous the fucking moon is behind her.
Yeah. The moon's going to like crash.
The moon is falling on them. It's like, so if the moon was that big, I would shoot myself with a gun because I'm like, what is happening?
I would cry.
I would feel so small and insignificant in this universe because of how big that moon was.
Yeah. Like, how could you sleep with a moon that big?
Just looking at you.
Yeah. And like just directly reflecting the sun's like light.
It would just be daylight.
Yeah. It looks like daylight.
Yeah.
Except for some shadows that they draw on people.
Mm-hmm. I talked about how I like Daredevil's ridiculous jumps. I like that Maya mimics those ridiculous jumps. There's a part where they both do a weird backflip off of a building and it looks like both of them are gonna die because they're like, why would you jump off that way?
Yeah, it's like, what are you aiming for? And can you see it?
Or they do like a gymnast, like one-handed handstand on the swing set, and Maya's like, oh, that's a good idea, let me do that too.
That seems like it would break your elbow, like just falling from a building and then landing.
This building is 5 stories and they land on one arm. That's on a swing set. That's like
100
set.
Feet in the air.
Yeah.
Straight onto your elbow.
It's awesome.
And they're locking their elbow, you know?
I love this comic.
At least like swing into it. I'd believe that more.
Yeah. If he like catches like a swing on the way down, you know, who knows?
And then she beats him up with a teeter totter.
Yeah. She does crack his face with the teeter totter. And that's how she gets the upper hand. She's about to kill him. So that's a little ridiculous. But Dana, what's more ridiculous is in the next issue, some kids show up to the fight and Echo decides to not kill a man in front of children in a park. And so she just lets him go and she leaves.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you'd think you'd just like,
you had him
knock him out or something.
You had it aimed at his head.
You saw some children. I guess it kind of makes sense because like her dad died or whatever. I don't know. But she was going to kill him anyway. I don't know. This Daredevil could be someone's dad. So
but
it's like,
but the thing is, Nathan,
or maybe she thought this is illegal.
That is an issue 13. Because we go from 11 to 13, they just skip 12 altogether.
Oh, yeah, they do.
So when I saw this, I was like, wait a damn minute. I'm at 13 already. And I like Google it because I was like, I didn't even know it was in the back matter. Mm-hmm. I just Google it and like everyone, I saw that it was like written by like somebody else and drawn by someone else. And all the reviews are like, this is such a filler issue, you know?
It really is.
Everyone's like, like just being mad at Marvel for printing it.
Yeah, some things never change.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I'm kind of glad they didn't include this, you know, because I feel like we get that all the time.
Yeah.
Or if there's like a spinoff issue of like some event that's going on.
And it'll just be like right in the middle.
Yeah.
Of like the collected edition.
Yeah, or at the end or whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's nice. And then if you really want it, it's in the back.
Yeah. But I kind of just consider it like back matter.
Yeah.
Matt Murdock finds out that Echo is copying movie choreography. And there's a very real scene in this where Matt spends time in the porn section of a movie store to hide from Maya returning her action movies. So that was fun.
And then he like picks up a VHS and Karen Page is on it.
Yeah, what was that about?
And she's dressed as the devil.
But like...
And he can like feel like the imprint. The
grooves?
The grooves of the... I guess it was like... had the like the 3D kind of like...
The hologram?
Yeah, the hologram art on it, or it just pops out like a little bit. Yeah, and he could feel that on this porno.
Yeah, I don't know. That was weird. It is Karen Page.
What's the name of this?
Mephisto Comes Over.
The Devil in Me? Or
The Devil in Miss Page.
Oh, she used her real name?
I guess so.
Yeah, Karen Page.
She was a porn star? What the fuck? Where's she in the show? She's like a assistant or something in the show, right?
And it says, Karen Page, Mephisto Comes Over.
Ooh, yeah, he does.
Dang.
That's funny.
It writes itself.
It really does. Maybe they're like just horny dudes and they're like, this would be funny as fuck, wouldn't it?
There's also a VHS that's called Marvel Team Up.
I did see that. Is that a porn or is that just a regular movie?
Ooh, I hope so.
Who's teaming up? So then Fisk finally gets tried in court and he's represented by Foggy's mom, which is weird. You'd think he wouldn't do that in case they were like secretly like a team, but he knows that they're not. Anyway, Lenny never shows up as a witness. So Daredevil starts running around looking for him while Foggy presents like sort of baseless claims.
Isn't Larry?
Larry? Lenny? One of those two.
The survivor.
Whoever didn't die.
Yeah.
And then we see some like Kingpin origin stuff and we see him like bench pressing a lot. But ultimately in the court case, Fisk is like let go. And I think a critical part of like a good Daredevil story is like a good courtroom like scene.
Sure.
And I feel like this has that because there's a part where Fisk is like on the stand and he's being like questioned by Foggy and there's some like pretty hard claims being made by like Foggy. And I like how Fisk is like responding to them. But then also in like the background of the page, there's like a maze. There's like a visual metaphor of like a maze.
Mm-hmm. Or a literal maze.
But like a literal maze, but it's supposed to like, I think, represent he's dodging these questions. He's trying to find his way like around, you know, to get him. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I got
to
do a lot of dodging mazes, you know?
Yeah. So also in this flashback, did you know Fisk had hair before?
Yes or no, but I imagined.
He's got like weird slicked back hair. And I didn't realize that this was like Fisk in the flashback or whatever for a little bit. But yeah
and like he like shaved his head but like kept it shaved because it made him look tough or something.
Yeah, makes him look like big buff baby.
There's a reason and it was dumb. I thought it was in the next issue or something.
It might be. There's another like Fisk flashback origin thing which I didn't think was necessary, but
so yeah, I was pretty annoyed by it.
When Fisk is on his ride home, it turns out that the driver is Lenny or Larry, whichever one is alive, in disguise with a gun. And he shoots Fisk off of a bridge after many bullets. And that's how that issue ends.
Yeah, he pops him like 5 times.
He pops him like twice. Then he gets thrown out the car. And then he pops him a few more times. He's got like 6 bullets in the side. Get better aim, Lenny or Larry.
Yeah.
You know? And then he hits Fisk again and like throws him off the bridge.
Because he's a big ass target, you know?
Yeah. How do you...
And he continues to shoot him in not the heart side.
Yeah. Yeah, specifically not the heart side.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But, and then he just doesn't have a speech impediment anymore because he's not nervous.
He had a toupee for some reason. I don't know why that's important.
I think he was just trying to look like the bus driver.
Yeah, maybe.
That's what I got from that, but
I didn't realize he was bald before.
Me neither.
Anyway, Queen's dead. That's good.
Yeah. What a nice thing. Great Fisk pages, by the way. We didn't see a whole lot of action, but I just like when he's like towering over Lenny.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Good stuff. But anyway, the next issue.
14.
Matt and Maya meet again as just regular people, but Maya says that she has family matters that she has to deal with, so she's going to go away for a while. And then with Kingpin gone, Foggy goes to work cleaning up the streets, and he's like convicting a bunch of crime bosses. But Matt's still not happy, though, because Maya hates Daredevil, and he's like, why does she hate Daredevil? And like later that night, Maya tries sniping Daredevil on a rooftop, but hits Black Widow instead. So that sucks, but it turns out it was just a trank dart.
It turns out to be poison too, but
yeah. I love a perched Daredevil on like a rooftop. It's always fun to see that.
Yeah.
Good stuff. But yeah, so Echo and Daredevil still fight. He has to like carry Black Widow to like safety as well. So he kind of like brings her to a dark room so that Echo will be both deaf and blind, which makes her a little bit easier to take out and then like get away.
Yeah, like he can move around, and yeah. Like she won't know.
Yeah, which is convenient. So Black Widow's okay, but Echo comes up with a plan to overwhelm Daredevil's senses by fighting in like a burning park that she sets on fire, and then also Fisk is alive and he's in the sewers for some reason,
grabbing rats.
And what I don't understand is, presumably it would take like months to convict all of these crime boss people.
Yeah, but it happens like overnight.
But it seems like Fisk is like either surviving months in the sewer, or this is just like an overnight thing that
Foggy probably just like a few hours later.
Yeah, it seems like it, because he's like still bleeding and shit too. So it's like, what is the time difference here?
I didn't think about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Strange. But then we go into last issue.
Issue 15. These are great covers.
Dude, I love David Mack covers.
Yeah. Is it a David Mack cover?
Yeah, all of them are.
David Mack did the covers.
David Mack, yeah.
It says Quesada and Mack, but...
Oh, maybe Mack does the watercoloring? No, I know, okay. Mack does like a lot of watercolor stuff, so... Mm. Did you know I messaged him one time? Because he posted like Spider-Man art. He said it was for sale, and I messaged him just to see.
Yeah.
I think I had like $400 available at the time, and I was like, hey, how much like is this? And he's like, $2,000. And I'm like, ooh... I'll think about it.
He's heard that before.
So, wait, what?
He's probably heard that before.
Yeah, probably. I don't think I ever responded. I'm like, yeah, you're just too good. And I like shouldn't have even done this.
I honestly can't afford you.
Yeah. So, yeah. Last issue. Daredevil shows up to the park to fight. And he's kind of like off of his game because of the overstimulation of where they're fighting. Even though they fought there before. And there's just fire there now. But.
They show flashbacks of like Kingpin's childhood, and his dad is like a cartoon character.
Dude, yeah, his dad has some weird panels in here. I'm sure it's just like a child's like
perspective of
imagination of like what his dad does. But yeah, he's got some weird pages in here. And yeah, so more Kingpin stuff showing like his bad parents, and he like first kills a man at 12, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Don't really know why he like set this man on fire, but he does. And so I don't know, I just thought it was kind of weird to have like a second Fisk origin.
It was just like a maintenance man or something.
Yeah, it wasn't even anybody like, I don't know, big. Also, there's a splash page of Echo and Daredevil fighting, and they like forgot to put the Daredevil like eye lenses on, and so it's just his regular eyes
like closed.
Yeah, he just has like closed regular eyes. But then the lenses come back later, and I'm just very confused by that.
Uh-huh.
So that's just something I noticed. But or maybe they don't come back and he just like has black looking eyes. I can't even really tell. But Maya like hits Daredevil's scar on his face, causing it to tear and bleed, which then makes Echo realize that Daredevil is Matt Murdock, who would have happened to have been a child if he was actually the killer of her dad. So Echo puts together that it was Kingpin that killed her dad, probably. And so they stop fighting, and then they leave or whatever. Kingpin, who's like already weak, finds Maya, and then Maya shoots Fisk and then just like disappears. But then the twist, Daniel, is that Fisk is still alive and he's just blind now somehow with both eyes.
I guess she just shot him in the eyes.
Shot him in both eyes, I guess, and thought that that was enough. But just shoot him in the head, you know? You don't got to get fancy. So, I don't know. That's a strange Fisk reveal at the end. I don't know what that's going to do for, like, his character or, like, where the creative opportunity there is. But, yeah, kind of a weird way to end it. But
why is he bald? There's a reason.
Why is Fisk bald?
Yeah, he, like, does it on purpose.
There was a lice infestation in my neighborhood.
That's it.
I shaved my head for functional purposes. It adds to the impact of my presence, so I leave it that way. I didn't even realize.
It's so dumb. It's given me reasons that he's that way.
Just be bald. It's just fine. Just be bald.
Yeah, it's fine.
It might as well have been like I had a bald spot. Bald.
Yeah.
And it made me look lame.
And so it got worse. Yeah. Or something. Yeah.
I have alopecia or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, he's got eyebrows, so it's like...
Oh, yeah. But, yeah.
Anyway, are we done?
So, that's it. So, let's go into Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
I consider the fill-in issue, like, Back Matter. It's fine. Like,
Did you read it?
Yeah, I did. It's like an issue fill in it, like it would have disrupted the main story. So I like that they kept it here at the end, but it's kind of just like a spinoff. I think Joe Quesada writes it actually.
Yeah. Or Jimmy Palmiotti or whatever.
Joe Quesada and Jimmy Palmiotti wrote it. Artist is Rob Haynes, but it's basically just like people living in Hell's Kitchen and showing like it kind of gives like a brief background of like their lives and how hard it is to like live in Hell's Kitchen or whatever. But in the course of their situation happening, they see Daredevil and Echo fighting in between like two of the issues.
Yeah.
And through that, like all of the storylines kind of converge and like come together. It's got some good stuff, but I think it's good that they put it at the end.
If you think about it, Kingpin really had it rough during this. Like, he gets shot like 7 times and then the next issue gets shot like 2 more times.
Yeah. He gets robbed. First off, gets robbed of all of his blackmail.
Yeah.
And then, he gets shot 8 times, falls in a river.
He loses his hitmen.
He has to eat rats, maybe.
He just grabs some rats for some reason.
I don't know why he grabbed those rats.
His white suit kind of gets dirty in the sewer, I imagine.
He's got to get that patched and
cleaned.
Can't
get that out. He's probably just throw it out.
Probably throw it out, yeah. And then he gets his eyes taken.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
This artwork kind of looks like a cartoon, like a Daredevil cartoon that was from like 20 years ago.
It does, yeah.
But it's, I didn't read it. Just from what I heard about it.
It's okay.
I wasn't very interested.
I don't think it's like bad or anything.
With characters that like you're not going to see again.
Yeah, totally.
Doesn't contribute to the story. But other than that, we got
regular designs. Back Matter. Yeah, character designs for Echo by David Mack.
Probably good he wrote on that one.
Yeah, maybe don't like doodle as much, David Mack. No, I'm just kidding. I think they kind of changed the design like a little bit from this, but he had a pretty solid idea. He wanted like the handprint on the face, you know, he wanted black tape on the hands and arms.
Who's
the feathers.
In the picture? He's got a picture of someone with like a handprint on their face.
Someone that he captured, probably. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like that.
Yeah. And maybe he's just trying like different paints, or he's like, maybe he like knows someone that's like Native American. He's like, can I put my hand on your face?
He even does like the layouts.
He does the layouts for the covers
and like some panels.
That makes sense.
Which is,
there's some pretty complex stuff in here. So it makes sense if he's like, this is kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah.
And
then
he does
like,
something really, really, really quick.
I don't know how Quesada would like see the script and be like, oh, let me get fucking fun with it.
Yeah.
Know?
But I could see how, like, he would lay it out and be like, this is kind of what I'm thinking, but you just kind of, like, take it from there.
Yeah.
And I think it explains more than, like, words would. So, pretty cool.
And then they get kind of specific with pencils and stuff. Like, they show, like, specifically things that are on, like, the TV.
I don't know why they did that. I would have liked to see just, like, regular Quesada pencils.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's cool and all, too.
Uh-huh. And then, like, the pencils for Crazy Horse, which is, like, Maya's dad, or Karen, when we see her.
Richard Isinov, did you bring him up at the beginning?
Because
he does the colored pencil stuff.
Yeah.
Which really good. Is really good, yeah.
Yeah. That must be really annoying. Because you have to like sharpen it probably constantly.
Yeah.
Unless there's like a fancy brand of colored pencil out there.
There's probably really good ones that are like have really hard like lead or whatever. Mm-hmm. That like it just takes harder to dull.
Probably, yeah. And then we see the blackmail photos. So it's like Brian Michael Bendis, David Mack, J.G. Jones, Joe Quesada, and Nancy Duckesian. I don't know who that is. So
dang.
Pretty fun.
Bendis got old. This is definitely some time ago.
He does get old.
I guess it was like 20 years ago.
However, credits him. He got kind of tubby and then he lost it. So that's pretty cool.
That's good.
Yeah.
And that is the book, Nathan.
That's Daredevil. Dan, what would you rate this book?
What do they eat on their date?
Coffee, like a sandwich, I think. Some popcorn. I think they get ice cream, but I don't know. What kind of popcorn would you give this?
Ooh, okay. So I'd give it like, I'd give it a medium popcorn because that's normally what I get when I go to the movies by myself or something. Or if I'm just getting popcorn for me.
Nice.
Also get a tray though. You know, so pour half the popcorn into the tray. You put extra butter on both what's left in the bag and the box.
Like that.
Then I have both seasonings that I need, my white cheddar and ranch.
Okay.
Season both of those. And I got some M&Ms. I got some Skittles.
Ooh.
For when I'm doing the popcorn.
Sounds like a premium time at the movies.
Yeah, pretty good time at the movies. But you know, you can always go larger with the popcorn or get like a different candy or something. I didn't get an icy. Just got a Coke Zero, you know.
Okay. The worst Coke. Got it.
It's absolutely not. Diet Coke is the worst Coke.
I don't know what the worst Coke is. No, I say that.
I just know the best Cokes, you know.
Cherry Coke. Pretty good.
Cherry vanilla Coke.
Cherry vanilla Coke is so good.
So fucking good.
I give this a cherry vanilla Coke, Daniel.
Wow.
Because cherry like Daredevil and vanilla like the handprint on Maya. On Maya's face.
Yeah.
And I give it a large... Or like a special movie cup, you know. You're going in for the experience.
Yeah, they got the new loyalty cups at Harkins Theaters here in Arizona.
Do they look good?
They're pretty cool. They got like, you know, little pictures of, it's like clip art looking of different movies, but mostly ones that are old, you know.
Man, I like when they hype up the movies coming up.
Yeah, like I know. So I can look forward to them. So I can like mentally mark them off when I go see them.
Like, ooh, they're Deadpool.
Yeah.
For that one, you know.
Maybe they're like... We have nothing that's like recognizable coming out.
Yeah, true. Or maybe like things.
There's like an alien movie coming out. They could put like a xenomorph on there. Yeah, supposedly. No, cool. I'm not in charge of that, but I should be.
Yeah.
You know.
That'd be fun. Good stuff.
Good stuff.
So let's get into the poll list. Colin.
Show up in your box.
The poll list. What did you shove in your box?
Dan, what'd you pick up this week? Because I didn't go and I forgot. So what'd you get this week? I got a haircut and I was like, shit, I should have gone to the comic shop instead.
Gotta look good for the pod, Nathan.
Yeah, of course.
I think the only thing I'm getting today is Batman 141.
Okay. I will also get that.
Yeah, like, I don't know if there's more stuff. I feel like Fresh Comics is getting a little bit better about stuff that's coming out.
That's good.
But yeah, there's... No new series that I was interested in. I think I always say this, but I'm like trying to like not have so much in the poll, you know?
Yeah, same.
And I'm really trying not to buy more issues of stuff that I haven't finished.
Yep.
And I don't think I really value individual issues that much. You know, like I'll buy them just so I know what the stories are and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I think... Overall, for like a rereadable story, I will want the trade, you know?
Totally.
So if I'm not so interested enough to read number one, I won't buy number two, you know?
Yeah.
So
good stuff.
Rather than just like have them pile up or whatever.
Yeah. I'll probably get, I will be getting a Batman and then probably like a Green Lantern that comes out maybe this week.
Yeah. One of the three that are coming out.
What are the three? I'm very spoiled and I'm not even caught up on all of them right now. Mm-hmm. I'm only one behind for the main Green Lantern one and two behind for the rest, but
yeah. I can't believe there's that many Green Lantern fans out there to where there needs to be three books going on at
People
one time.
Love them. The Alan Scott one's pretty good.
Yeah. It yeah. looks cool. That's like a mini series, yeah.
Yeah. I think it's going six? To like six. And then War Journal is also a limited one as well.
Is that him in like Vietnam or something?
He's in war. I don't know.
Which
I got,
one?
I got to start it.
Oh my God. Anyway, did you read anything other than this?
They know I caught up on Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong.
Oh, thank goodness. Was there four of those out?
There's three out currently.
How's that going?
It's good.
Haven't even started it.
There's many monster, not just Godzilla and Kong.
Wow, more monster.
Yeah.
It should be Justice League versus the monsters.
It should be, yeah. There's a lot of Justice Leaguers in this. And I'm like, what's Green Arrow going to do? You know? And
yeah.
then it turns out he does have something to do. Hmm. He goes to Skull Island to like scope it out. And it's like, don't worry, I'm familiar with surviving on an island. And I was like, he did do that, didn't he?
Do we see King Ghidorah?
No, we see like a Cthulhu looking one.
Okay.
You yeah. see like a mammoth looking one.
All right.
You see Godzilla and then you see Kong.
Any Mothra action?
I think there will be Mothra action.
How many issues is that supposed to be?
I think it's supposed to be five.
Okay.
So right. I like it. The artist is like really, really good as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you see like Shazam, you see like Hawkwoman, you see Black Canary. And like so far, everybody's like had something to do, you know?
That's good.
Even like Black Canary.
Not just throwing him in there for like an event.
Yeah.
Even when it's like not important.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Green Lantern's in there, Flash. It's all good stuff.
Nice. Did you watch anything this weekend? Or is there other things you read that you want to talk about?
Didn't read anything else, but I watched Leo, the animated movie with Adam Sandler.
What'd you think?
I thought it was fun. It was like a cute little movie, you know? I don't know why I had that dumbass voice the whole time, but I got used to it.
Yeah. Whenever he like chooses a voice for something, he just fucking sticks to it.
Dude, you know? He does. It was probably just like first draft, or like he didn't even think about it until like the day of, and he's like, we're gonna go on the thing. And
this is what this would sound like.
You got all these children out here, and I'm just in fifth grade.
I'm 74. I'm getting out. Can't get out of here.
What the hell? I want to go see the Everglades. He just sounds like that. I'm like, what? This one? This is what he chose? And then Bill Burr is just doing himself. You know? But Bill Burr is really funny in this.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like if he is an animal, he's like an old turtle, you know?
Probably. Yeah.
Probably just because he has a bald ass head. But I thought it was fun. I didn't know what to expect. And so.
I told you quite a bit about it.
You did, and then I forgot. Nice. So it was like I was watching it for the first time. But yeah,
yeah.
I liked it. It was a nice little message there. Validates kids' problems, you know?
Yeah.
Those kindergartners are fucking weird.
Why would they have two phones and have one to give to a lizard?
That's what I was wondering about that.
Because he had like 10 phones at one point.
Yeah, and I'm like...
Maybe they're just old iPod touches with like WhatsApp on it.
Ooh, that's probably what it was.
Yeah.
But like, did they have to explain how to use a phone?
He probably knew.
Also, Bill Burr's character knows how to stream.
How does he charge those phones?
The kids have three phones and they swap it out every day.
Yeah.
There's like that drone in the movie. It was like,
oh yeah,
holy shit.
It's all suicidal.
yeah. But it was a good movie. I just needed something to put on while I put down my Christmas tree. So I did that.
Oh.
But I laughed a couple times.
Did it take that long?
No, it took like 20 minutes, and then I was like, well, I guess we're watching this movie now.
What else? Deep. Anything else?
I played a video game called Lethal Company.
Okay.
It is
your pretty... mercenary.
No.
Okay, what?
It's like pretty... I'm like late to the party, I would say. Like this game like blew up. I think it's already gotten like a couple awards, even though it's like in beta right now.
Wow.
I see it a ton on TikTok, so...
A little premature.
I'm sure if anybody plays video games, you've heard of it, but it's like... You are supposed to, like, your goal is to just be, like, employee of the month, and you, like, fly in on a planet, and you're supposed to, like, loot things out of, like, a building, but there's monsters in there, right? And when you loot things out of the building, you're supposed to, like, survive long enough to bring it back to the ship, and there's, like, tons of things that can kill you, like, monsters or, like, the environment. Like, you can die in quicksand or, like, in some mud or... lightning, if it's like raining and you get up too high, like stuff like that. But what's fun about it is that it has proximity chat, which means that if you're like near someone, then you can hear them over the voice, But if you're like far away, you can't. Or if they like enter a room and they close the door, you can't hear them. But if you go in that room, you can hear them.
I've seen Warzone clips.
Yeah, stuff like that. Or like if you die, yeah. So it's the same thing, but it's really funny with proximity chat in like a monster game, because you could just go into a room and there's already like a bunch of screaming and shit happening. You'll just be like walking down a hallway and you'll start to hear like screaming and you're like, where's that coming from? And you like turn around and run the other way, but then they're over there. Like,
I feel like an open world like Left 4 Dead would be really fun with a proximity chat.
Yeah, I think so.
Because like you just run and be like, I'm hiding here, dude.
Yeah,
close the door.
It would be like Warzone, but like with zombies. Yeah, and you're trying to survive or something. Yeah, it's a really fun game, honestly. And when you die, you can hear like other people die, and you can spectate other people's like proximity chats.
Yeah,
and it's just really funny, like seeing what situations they get themselves into.
Yeah,
and really fun game.
Nice. So
it's only like $10. Definitely recommend if you got some friends.
No, I don't. I watched a movie called Saltburn.
Oh, yeah.
I meant to bring it up, but I forgot about it last week. With the Joker, and it's got...
Joaquin Phoenix? No, Barry Keoghan.
Yeah,
Kenigan.
Krogan, Keoghan.
Keoghan, like I think.
Yeah, pretty crazy movie. Highly recommend. Everyone should just see it. Like, I really liked it. I don't know if everyone would like it, but I think everyone should see it. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, it's on...
Praise.
Yeah, like... It was only in the theaters for like a little while. And
did you see it in theaters?
No, I saw it here. It's on Prime. Like
Prime, okay.
And it only, I think it came out like last month in theaters, and it was just on Prime really quickly. And then everyone started watching it.
Oh, cool.
Definitely like one of the, it's a little fucked up, but like,
cool.
Yeah, I recommend. It's not like scary, so like Sophia could watch it too.
Okay.
Yeah, she should see it.
Nice.
Then I watched a A24 romance drama. It's called Past Lives. I don't know if you've heard
that's
of it.
That's
A24?
That. Yeah. Is that the one with Sydney Sweeney? Or is that the rom-com?
That is Anyone But You.
What did you watch? Past Lives?
Past Lives, yeah.
Okay.
It's by this director named Celine Songs.
Ooh, you know what?
This is her like first movie ever.
This came out a while ago, right?
Yeah, like maybe in May.
Like this year?
But yeah,
like a while ago? Okay. Was on the cruise that I was on, and I was like, I don't know what movie this is, and I kept changing the channel.
Yeah, no, it's really good, actually. Sarah didn't like it, but she just didn't get it, you know? I sold it to her as like a romantic comedy and like an A24 thing, but it doesn't have any kind of like A24 like twist to it or whatever.
It's just good.
It's just a movie about like how relationships just kind of really are. And like not how they're really portrayed in movies, like none of it's like predictable,
mm-hmm.
and it just shows how like complicated relationships can be. It like really explores like it's about this like immigrant that comes to America and kind of like this childhood friend in Korea,
mm-hmm.
that she had that still lived in Korea, and just kind of how they like kind of rekindled things every once in a while, and then just how she's kind of moved on with her life and just kind of had to leave like the little girl that she was in like Korea, like in Korea, and was like basically a different person in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, it was just really good. I thought it was super interesting. Yeah. I guess nothing necessarily happens, but you can kind of like feel like what these people feel, you know?
Yeah.
And so I just thought it was really interesting. Yeah. It was really highly rated on Rotten Tomatoes, but I don't know if it's like for everybody.
Yeah.
Just because it's not like any like, oh shit moments or anything. It's just kind of like.
Just like good writing.
Yeah. Great writing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like mostly in like Korean. Like it was like, it had like subtitles and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then like the only English shit was like when she's like talking to like her American husband or whatever. But yeah, super good.
Very nice.
I got a PS5, and so I was going through like all the games that are like on that, and
which games.
Then I also was looking through like games that are on like the Switch, because I finally set up like my card to like go on that store.
Oh, okay.
And the Switch is incredible with some of the games that it has on that.
Dude, it's
like
great.
What it's capable of.
Yeah.
Dude, I bought a bundle pack of the Portal games.
Oh, nice.
And it was like $10 for both games.
That's good.
Yeah, it's awesome.
I think I got both of them for cheaper, but yeah, dude,
it's not a competition, okay? I just like,
I'm the better shopper, is what I'm saying.
I just saw it and I'm like, I'm ready to relive some nostalgia, and those games are awesome.
I love those games. I got all the achievements on Portal 1.
Big flex, Nathan.
Yeah, there's an achievement where you have to go through the whole game without getting shot once, which is really hard.
Save some bitches for us.
And there's an achievement where you have to go through the whole game only going through an orange portal, which is actually harder than you think.
That sounds impossible. What do you mean?
It's hard to just remember that that's what you have to do, because there's parts where it's just easier to shoot one portal and then go through the portal that you already had.
I would not. I would never.
It's so fun.
But yeah, it's super cool.
Yeah.
But no, Sarah wanted to play a game and she was looking up games. I'm like, we should play It Takes Two.
Did you play It Takes Two?
And she's like, that's on my list. I'm like, whoa. All right, let's download it. And we had to wait for it to download. But yeah, we started it. I think we almost played it all in a day. Is it kind of short, or does it take a long time? It's a big ass game.
What's happening right now?
So last thing that we did was we defeated like the Wasp Queen.
You still got some ways to go.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it makes you feel like
oh, you're almost to the room.
No, we were at the room, like we're on the windowsill, and then like the daughter's there.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, we're almost done. I'm like, no. We should stop so we save some of it.
I don't want to spoil it, but no.
Okay, good.
You're not like almost done, but. Yeah, it's fun. There's like, do you play any of the like little mini games where you compete against each other?
Yeah, she thinks that she can beat me in some stuff. Like the button smashing, like tug of war, get the fuck out of here. Dude,
Sophie crushes me in that every time. Really? I was so shocked. I bodied
Sarah on that shit.
She bodied me. You guys should match against each other. Or we should match against each other so I know who's the goat between us two. And then we go up against fucking Thanos downstairs.
Yeah, I was just okay. Like, I'm like, she's like, how you do that? I'm like, you gotta use your arm. Like,
dude, I don't know. I was actually, I felt like less of a man. No, I'm just kidding. But I was like, surprised.
Did she make you switch and you're the mom now?
That would be funny.
This caused a lot of problems in our relationship because she's a terrible shot. And I realized how little we communicate. And how much I tried to not like mansplain as much as possible, but I'm like you have to fucking shoot him, like, yeah. Aim, like, because like it was weird because like in when you're in the tree you have like the you shoot like this honey shit, right? And it's like explosive. Mm-hmm. And she has to shoot it in order for it to explode.
Yep.
But my gun that shoots the goop that has auto assist on it,
yeah,
with the aim, but hers doesn't. Yeah. So she loses, she misses clutch all the time. Yeah, she has a clutch like crazy. She loves killing me in that. Like, if there's an opportunity to kill me, she will kill me.
It is pretty funny.
Yeah, like where it's like, I don't know, there's some jump I have to do or something, and just to provide like a platform, she'll just
take it away.
Yeah, she'll just pull the rug out.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, it's a good game.
That game is crazy because, like, you're on like a you're flying out of the tree. Mm-hmm. But like the squirrel general is like on your plane trying to fight you, but it's like a Super Saiyan squirrel.
Yeah.
I'm like, is that a Kamehameha wave? Like, dude, we got to get out of here.
I like it because as soon as you like understand the mechanic that they introduced,
you're
like, okay, this is fun. And then you play it for a little bit and you're like, okay. And then they switch it up on you completely.
Yeah. It's an incredible game. Like, it looks incredible. Yeah. And I love like all the obstacles and stuff.
Yeah.
And
it won game of the year last year, I think.
Yeah. It really makes me think. You know, and
that's good. Wait, why?
Just some of the fucking obstacles you gotta get through. I'm like, all right, what do we gotta do here? Mm-hmm. I missed the fucking nails that you had in like the attic. You know how you had to like throw some nails, mm-hmm. and then like she'd swing off of them with the hammer?
Yeah.
That was the best.
That's fun.
I want that back.
There's some good stuff in there that you still haven't seen yet. There's a part that's like devastating and it made Sophie cry.
Oh, yeah, you told me that. I don't wanna hear more.
You don't? Yeah.
I'll play it and I'll tell you more about it.
Yeah.
Really small thing. Well, you know, the devastating part was like the daughter goes to talk to the parents when they're like on like autopilot or whatever, but they're just like dead. They're like zombies.
Yeah, dude, that was weird.
And like they keep talking and she's like trying to get her parents back together or whatever. And it's heartbreaking.
It is. Yeah, it's a really good story.
The daughter has like this toy. It's like a baboon dressed in like an astronaut costume. He's like, she's like, do you want to play with Moon Baboon? I'm like, that's a great name for a toy.
They nailed that one.
I want a Moon Baboon.
Yeah. Hasbro nailed it, or whoever makes the toy.
Yeah, so it's a really fun game. She keeps saying that she wants to just like, she wishes that she could replay like Hogwarts like for the first time again. I'm like, just play it again.
You can do that, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just like, play just it differently. Be
do
evil.
Do a different time. House. Yeah. She's like, but it's kind of the same. But yeah, she like really fucking loved that game. I think she like practically 100%ed it.
Really?
Yeah, she like goes back to it sometimes. Oh. Like she played it while we were waiting for It Takes Two to play.
Like Red Dead Redemption 2 or something like that. Because like you can have like your own farm, you can have a horse.
She's got to be like connected to it somehow.
Hmm. Okay.
Like she likes this because like we can play it together and it's kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think she only put that much time into that because it was something she's connected to.
Right.
Kind of like how, or because like how much time I put into like Fallen Order, you know?
Yeah.
If it was like any other property, I don't know if I'd finish it.
Yeah. Fallen Order is really good though.
Yeah.
Or Survivor, I should say.
But anyway, we forgot to do our Trade Raiders Awards last episode.
No, Dano, by the time, we didn't forget. It just wasn't the end of the year yet. You know, something could have snuck in.
It would have came out.
Something could have snuck in right at the end at the buzzer beater.
Did they?
And so we waited strategically until we were recording. Well, no, but we didn't know that. Something could have snuck in on the 31st.
Ah, okay.
So we waited strategically until we were recording in the new year, which is now. So
you're just in denial, Nathan?
Yes.
But let's get into it. Our annual Trade Raiders Awards. We talked about nominees two episodes ago. But yep. our first category, Best New Marvel Series.
So this is a series that started 2023, correct?
Correct.
Got it. What do you have as nominees?
Our winner is Predator versus Wolverine.
I think it has to be that.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote down some runner-ups or honorable mentions.
That was one of the two Marvel books I read last year. So
Uncanny Avengers is the other one, or
one of three Marvel things.
What was the other one?
Alpha Flight.
I forgot.
I just read number one. And then Ultimate Invasion.
Yeah, I wrote down Ultimate Invasion because it is fun, but I don't care. Also, I wrote Gods in there.
But you also didn't
continue. Also didn't care about that one. So
Predator versus Wolverine. It's congratulations, so Ben Percy and whoever else is on that.
Yep. As always, if the creators of those books hears this for some reason and you're listening, and why, first off, but if you want a trophy,
thank you.
And if you want a trophy, I'll make you one. I'll 3D print you one. I'll ship it to you. No cost.
Yeah.
I'll figure out how to 3D model and make a trophy somehow.
Shout out would be cool though, but whatever.
Shout out would be cool. That is a requirement after you receive it.
Yeah, take a picture.
Take a picture.
You know, we're asking for too much now.
You know, it'll have our Spotify code on there, maybe.
Ooh.
I don't know if I could do that, so no promises.
We'll figure it out. Nathan, next category, best new DC series.
Got lots on here.
The winner is Doom Patrol.
The winner is Doom Patrol. It's by Dennis Culver and Chris Burnham.
I don't even remember the writer, but I just know Chris Burnham.
Honorable mentions, Green Lantern, Alan Scott. Really good. It's saying some things, you know.
Okay.
I like Night Terrors. It was pretty fun. It's like actually a solid event, I think.
All the Batman stuff that's done by one person. Batman City of Madness.
Yeah. Batman Gargoyles of Gotham.
Gargoyles of Gotham.
Yeah.
Just Batman. Pretty good stuff.
Yeah, the Batman stuff was good this year.
We like World's Finest.
That didn't come out last year, but still banging.
Continuing, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, next.
Green Lantern. I also think it's fun.
Okay, we get it. You like Green Lantern.
I do.
And then best new indie book. This one's a tough one.
What do we got for nominees?
I got Transformers.
Transformers.
I got Phantom Road.
Phantom Road. That's all I got.
What do you got? Yeah,
there's Kill Your Darlings, which I read the first few issues of, and I think it's fine.
You know who that's by?
It's by those podcaster dudes.
Yeah, they're in...
They're in the Stegman, Ryan Stegman.
Stegman's Amazing Friends. Or yeah. Whatever, yeah. Do you know one of them lives in like Arizona?
Yeah, I saw that he was doing a signing in my shop some point, but I couldn't go.
I'd be like, what's up, nerd? You like the podcast?
Well, you're a comic book podcaster, you big nerd.
Yeah, bring back the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, honestly.
So I haven't read Transformers.
It's great.
So I'll let you choose this one.
Transformers.
All right. Just congratulations, because, like, DWJ.
That could have not been good, you know, but DWJ definitely finds a way. That's what you say.
That's what we say.
Yeah.
He's got it tatted on him.
Yeah. So I guess do a powerbomb. Did that start last year?
I don't think so.
I think it ended last year.
Maybe. It wasn't that long.
Yeah.
Anyway, the best trade we've reviewed this last year.
So the last 52 episodes, all the things that we read, Daniel, what was your favorites?
The winner was 52
episodes ago.
The Many Deaths of Layla Starr.
Was that?
That was like the second week of January that we read that.
Really?
And I...
That's got to be it then, right?
Well, I will listen to other suggestions, but I think that's it.
What's 198 minus 52? 146?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, actually, that was like our first one of the year.
It just barely made the cusp.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's got to be that one, but honorable mentions. Old Man Logan's pretty fun. Superman Space Age.
Yeah, that was a close second, maybe.
Southern Bastards.
Very good.
So good. I love that book.
But you have to think of it like it's a trade we reviewed.
Do a powerbomb.
It's self-contained, you know, and it's really fucking solid. Like, that's like a book that I wouldn't change anything about it. You know what I mean?
300's pretty good.
300's good.
Yeah. Scott
Pilgrim's good, but that
doesn't mean... Oh, yeah, Scott Pilgrim, Daniel.
I think... Scott Pilgrim, it was good, but it's very short, that trade, you know?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So, yeah, The Many Deaths of Layla Starr.
Congratulations, Ram B.
An absolute banger.
And Felipe Andrade.
Yeah. Doing something else right now, I think.
Yes.
Felipe. What's he doing?
They're doing Rare Flavors.
Rare Flavors. Correct. We love it.
I told you about this like 3 times, and I'm pretty sure you told me that they were coming out with this book.
I did.
When it was news.
Yeah, but I forgot what the name of it was just now.
Anyway.
Yeah, that's good.
Nathan?
I wrote down do a powerbomb, but then I forgot that Layla Starr just made the cut. So,
Nathan, we're lovers of comic books.
We love every...
We don't like being negative.
We don't.
But we do have to have... We're the only ones in the world that do this category.
And so we have to do it. It's our trademark, our Trade Waiters trademark.
The best nacho series.
Daniel, if you don't know what a nacho series is, let me tell you. First off, we understand that everybody that makes a comic has made more comics than us, even if it was just one.
And they're much better at it than us.
They're much better at it than us. Art's really hard.
A lot of work goes into making comics.
And it's suggests it's abstract, you know.
It's even hard to make a good comic.
Yeah, exactly. And a nacho series, Daniel, like a plate of nachos, is a series or an experience, rather, that starts really good. You get the cheese of the comic in the... jalapenos perhaps, or
the bacon maybe
on there, and you eat the first bite and you're like, wow, this is fucking amazing, I can't wait to continue reading these nachos, and then and then you keep going, and then the chips get soggy and all the good shit that made it really, really good in the beginning is just gone, and
you're left
with soggy chips, Daniel. Mm-hmm. You could slap somebody with those soggy chips. And so a nacho series is a book that starts really cool, but all the fun ideas are kind of in the beginning, and it just kind of like mellows out, and it's very clearly a book that's just one trade, really, but continues. So that being said, what do you have as nominees?
The winner is Ambassadors.
It might be, actually. But how long was that? 5 issues?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe 6.
It didn't really come together at the end, did it? Huh?
Right. And I mean, like, it ended.
It does come together in the end, and it does end.
But
when you start with Frank Quietly...
First issue.
Okay, well,
it's just like a banger first issue.
It is a banger.
Writing-wise, too.
It's a banger first issue. I mean, all the other artists and stuff are incredible.
All very good
artists. He's getting, like, Travis Charest back, who hasn't done comics in a while, and he did a really good job.
Yeah.
Mateo Scalera, I think, did the last issue. He's really good. But, like, writing-wise, it's just like,
it's a great concept to set up.
Yeah.
You know, but I just don't know if it was what we were looking for with, like, execution.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was like the only example of that I could think of for this year. And then the more I think about it, it just seems like the best example of that.
I wrote down Green Arrow, but I don't really know if I liked it from the beginning. Like I liked the first 90% of the first issue, and then it like puts Green Arrow in space on like an alien planet.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, ooh, let's see how this goes. And then I just didn't really like it from there.
Yeah.
So in a way it was, but I think Ambassadors is probably the best example of something that kind of mellows out at the end.
Because right.
At the end of that, like all of the country heroes are like together, and it's like, boom, surprise, here's a villain that has just been in the background this whole time, stealing powers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, there could have been more. And I think he's just trying to squeeze it in before Big Game.
Probably should have been like a 12-issue.
It
or
totally
like an 8-issue, you know, just it's got to like breathe a little, and you can probably explore some concepts a little bit more.
Yeah, like the Australian dude was like bisexual, even though he's trying to pose as like straight. And I'm like, this is kind of interesting.
You know? And but like, it seemed like kind of a throwaway line.
Yeah, it's like It almost feels like he wanted to have a bisexual person in there, and so he's just like, yeah, let me put on this guy, I guess, you know. Right. But that could have been an interesting character trait. So yeah, goes to Ambassadors.
Okay.
But again, let me preface, Mark Miller, very good at making comics.
Yeah, one of my favorites.
Frank Quietly, much better at drawing than I.
Yeah, or everyone.
And I actually do like the series, but it is a bit of a notch of the series. So. Yeah.
Nathan, time for some individual stuff. Best writer.
We got Dennis Culver from Doom Patrol.
Okay.
We got Tom King. I think he started Gotham City Year One this year.
I think that was over by the time Comic-Con came around, which was... May?
I think it was like five or something, but it might have been.
Sure.
Dana Warren Johnson,
but doing they didn't some
Transformers and ending Do a Power Bomb. So he had some good stuff this year. What did you say?
Did he have Jurassic League this year?
No, Jurassic League was last year.
Okay. Jeff Lemire came out with
Fish Flies.
He had Phantom Road.
Yeah.
He had the Cosmic Detective came out, you know, or I guess the Kickstarter funders got it.
Yeah.
So I would count that. It also came out in print or whatever.
Did he do Batman Horse. And Robin this year?
I don't remember. It was recent, but I can't pinpoint that it was this year.
Okay.
He's still doing Little Monsters. That's actually pretty good.
Okay. So you have Jeff Lemire?
I was just thinking of kind of big hitters.
I think he has had better years.
He sure has.
I do like Fish Flies, though, even though I've only read the first issue.
Oh, and he's had, like, Black Hammer coming out consistently.
Yeah. The End?
Yeah, Black Hammer, The End. He had Black Hammer Reborn, maybe, this year. In the last days of Black Hammer, which was, like, the trade that came out.
Yeah.
Who else did you have? Who did we give it to last year?
I think we did Dana Warren Johnson.
Did we? I'll look it up.
That sounds right. But I was most surprised by Dennis Culver with Doom Patrol, because it could have been so easy for me to like not like that book.
We did give it to DWJ.
Yeah, that sounds right. So my vote is Dennis Culver, because I just like Doom Patrol a lot.
But would you give that to someone based off of one book?
Sure.
I think, okay.
I mean, so, Tom King had like Wonder Woman come out, but I didn't really like it that much.
Yeah.
It was fine. But when your villain is like the Lasso of Lies, what the fuck is that?
Okay. What's his name?
Dennis Culver.
Congratulations.
Yes.
Good job. I will be looking forward to more stuff that he's got coming out.
Yeah. Same.
And speaking of Doom Patrol, best penciler, Nathan.
We got, Chris Burnham.
Chris Burnham.
He did some really good stuff on that. He made that book really fun. He draws a big monkey very well.
Looks great.
You know?
It's just
good, like, robot man.
The style is so likable. It's just very well done.
It's so Doom Patrol.
It really fits the book.
Yeah.
You know? It is also kind of just his style.
It's got a like fun, funky, wacky flavor.
I can't think of another book this year to where like I was looking at the style and I was like, this just fits really well, you know? And I was like excited about it.
Yeah.
So I will not hear other suggestions.
Mora for Shazam.
He got it last year.
Batman Silent Night. Yeah, he did get it last year. DWJ Daniel for Transformers. So good.
How many of you read it?
It's good. So I like it a lot. Also, you know, a little wild card here. Gillum March did Night Terrors Batman, which I thought was fire.
Okay. Honorable mention.
Yeah. Honorable mention. You did really good, Gillum. So anyway, are we giving it to Chris Burnham?
I think it's right.
Okay.
So
I also think that.
Did Doom Patrol get 3 awards, basically?
I just like, it did.
Is this like the Mad Max of the
Maybe
year?
We should give it to DWJ, you know, because he started Transformers. Could have gone really bad. He's drawing.
I like Chris Burnham's art more than Dennis's writing.
Okay, so let's redact Dennis Culver's.
Sorry, Doom Dennis.
Patrol. You won best series, okay? Okay.
Yeah. So it's kind of like you got it.
Should we just do Jeff Lemire then? Or should we do DWJ? Or what are you thinking?
You call it, since I'm kind of strong arm in Chris Burnham.
You know, I thought Jeff Lemire had a weak year, and then you said all those things, and maybe he is still crushing it.
It's kind of weird that we would give him the award for
no,
this year.
No, we should do Ed Brubaker.
Night Fever.
And there's that one that you read.
Where the Body Was.
Yeah. And he's just like
not his strongest year. I haven't read Night Fever, but it's like
good. I like it.
Is it best writer worthy?
It's really fun to read on a plane.
That's not an award, Nathan.
Ooh, best
should that be a new category?
Actually, it's that it wouldn't even win that category because there's boobies, you know. And so, like, it's hard to read on a plane, but
yeah,
I do like it. He's just consistently good, and he's never won an acclaimed trade waiter award.
Maybe next year.
Okay, yeah, maybe next year. All right, Jeff Lemire, good job.
All right.
Sorry, Dennis. You could still get a trophy, though.
And then Chris Branum as penciler. Mm-hmm. Best colorist, who we got?
I didn't write anything down. I forgot about this one.
We got Heather Moore for Doctor Strange.
Oh, yeah.
I think just, like, the task of coloring Trad Moore's stuff is a feat in itself.
That the colors of Trad Moore should win every time, I think, every year.
Yeah. I also had Mike Spicer.
Yeah, he does do some... He does good stuff on Transformers, too.
DJ, so we can give...
I think Heather Moore.
Heather Moore?
I think that's a good choice.
Heather deserves it more?
Heather deserves it more.
Okay. Congratulations, Heather Moore.
Yeah, because the Doctor Strange book that came out is absurd.
Yeah.
Like, what am I... I turned the page, and I'm like, what am I even looking at? And
But you also know what you're looking at.
But I do, and I feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like... How does someone put that on the page? And how does someone make it look pretty with colors on the page, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that could have been such a shit show, but they just, like, get each other so well.
Heather Moore can flex on Trad, like, that she got a Trade Waiters Award, but yeah. Not him.
Yeah, no. Maybe next year, Travis.
Yeah.
Or Trad, sorry.
Next category, we got the best prestige book.
We got Gargoyle of Gotham.
Was that prestige? It was, like, thicker.
Oh, it's thicker.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. But bigger, City of Madness.
Yep.
Batman by Christian Ward.
I got the Distillery. What's it called? Anthology.
Anthology. Pretty fun.
The Devil's Cut. I thought...
Oh. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the one with all of them.
Yeah, that's what they called it. I thought that was really fun. It was a very promising book. You know, I've read all of it, and it shows a lot of promise for, you know, what Distillery is going to be and the stuff that's to come.
It's kind of bold to do that as well.
Very bold.
A prestige... anthology.
Yeah, they're just gonna have everything in that format, I think.
Yeah, and
just
the
to
fact
flex.
And the fact that they gathered all of that talent, you know, you got your Scott Snyder, Francesco Francavilla on like a book, you got Gail Simone,
got Ron B, you got Tynion, got Ward,
you got Jock,
you do have
Ward, that's right.
Is Smallwood on that?
Smallwood, no, I don't think is on that.
No, okay.
But you have
The list goes on.
I'm forgetting your name.
But all the hottest talent in comics right now.
It is a very hot
all in one
issue.
Bucket, which is nice.
I think it's fair if we give it to that. Because it'll never go to another anthology. I could tell you that.
It's their first award ever.
Yeah. We're giving Distillery their first award.
Yeah, congratulations. We got to post about all this stuff.
Yeah, we do. I got to give a...
Very cool.
Congratulations. I got to give a trophy to everybody.
Congratulations, everyone that had a hand in that.
Yeah.
And then... new category, Nathan.
Mm-hmm.
Biggest back matter. Do you still want to? Yeah, based off of books we reviewed this year.
I don't know what the answer is.
So I think, in a way, It's Lonely at the Center of the Earth is kind of all back matter.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there's pages from her other books throughout it. And
it also ends and begins again
right in the middle of it. So it's kind of like half the book is
back matter.
It's back matter. So in my head, that is the biggest.
In a way,
one.
The book is back matter because it's about her making the book.
Exactly.
So it's got to be that, right?
It's got to win it. Yeah, by default. It's a book of back matter.
Are we going to tag her and say that her book had the biggest back matter?
Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to tag everybody.
Good job, Zoe Thorogood. She's a pretty good contender for best penciler of the year too.
Because
it came out this year, right? Maybe not.
I thought it was late the year before. Like, we were kind of late to the club.
I think we were late. Yeah.
Anyway, and our last new category and last category in general, best comic by someone who doesn't make comics.
This is such a good category. Dana, we have Paul Dano with the Riddler.
Yep, we got Andy Samberg with the Holy Roller.
And Patton Oswalt.
With Minor Threats.
Minor Threats.
We got Amon Villani.
Oh, that's right. She's Captain Marvel.
Miss Marvel.
Miss Marvel. Didn't a rapper do one this year? Like the Daredevil Echo one?
Oh, fucking...
Taboo?
Taboo?
I don't even know who that is.
He's in Black Eyed Peas.
Don't even know who that is. I'm just kidding. Don't know the Black Eyed Peas.
Bruce Campbell.
Oh, that's right. Sergeant Rock.
Versus the Army of Darkness.
Versus Army of Darkness. Ooh. I haven't read most of those, really? To be honest. I read the Andy Samberg one because he's the goat in my head.
So I've read the Holy Run. I've read the Holy Roller number one.
It's not great.
And I read Sergeant Rock number one.
Which one's better of those?
Definitely Sergeant Rock.
Okay, yeah, let's do that then.
All right, congratulations, Bruce Campbell.
It's so funny that
this can go next to your Emmys and Oscars if you have them.
Yeah, on top of them, preferably.
Yeah. On a higher shelf.
Yeah, higher shelf, on top of the shelf, even. It's so funny that he gets to write a comic and he somehow lands on like Sergeant Rock.
Yeah.
Like, do you think that was his first choice?
And he's writing like a property of a thing that he is in.
Acted in. He didn't even like make it.
Yeah, he's like, you know, the main character of.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure he like does like a lot of producing and writing now, but like.
Right.
It's just he's come a long way to write this comic.
He totally did. And
this comic was 40 years in the making.
Sergeant Rock is like a character you write if you just love DC comics in general, you know?
Yeah. Like in war.
In war. So yeah, I think that feels good.
Hell yeah. Good stuff. Congratulations to all our nominees and winners.
Mm-hmm. Are we going to keep these categories for next year? Cause I'm going to like write it down.
Yeah. Write it
down.
And
like keep it in mind.
Do you want to add any categories?
I think this is solid.
This is very solid. We got like 10.
Yeah.
So a lot of 3D printing to do if everyone asks for an award.
Yep. You have to tweet at us or you can email us at traderswithpod@gmail.com.
Yeah.
If you're a listener and you didn't make a comic, that's okay. We're right there with you.
Tell us, email us at traderswithpod@gmail.com. If you disagree with any of our choices.
Tell us who you would pick.
Yeah.
For nachos, no, not for any of the categories.
If you're a listener, write down all these categories and keep that in mind and tell us who you nominate next year.
Exactly. You have homework now.
Yeah, a year-long assignment. But you can also find our link tree in our bio. That is the show, I believe.
Mm-hmm. If you don't want to do the homework, you can just rate us at 5 stars.
Like, comment, subscribe, all that good stuff. Links in the bio, like I said. What are we reading next week?
What are we gonna read next week?
We're doing Infinite Crisis.
Yes, sir.
Because we're gearing up for our 200th episode, which is 52.
Yeah.
A little confusing.
For 200, we're doing 52.
Yeah. For 300, we're doing 300 again.
Anyway, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching.
Let's have a good year in comics.
Yeah. Goodbye. Say bye.
Bye.